I think much of what I'm going to say is going to be similar to David. It's probably quicker for me to read it than mentally edit it, but it's great because we saw the same lady from a completely different angle. And yeah, my first memory of Ivy was when I was a young teacher and sent upstairs to the under seven Sunday school teacher, to be a Sunday school teacher. Ivy was in charge. In fact, for years, Ivy always seemed to look after the young children. If a child or baby cried in the service, Ivy would go to the rescue and take the child out, whether the parent wanted her to or not. So many people said, Ivy looked after my children when I was struggling, or when I was a child, Ivy looked after me. Elaine said, Ivy looked after my boys, and Elaine was then very happy to visit Ivy, and they would look at maps to identify where the people were that Ivy was interested in. Mary said, Ivy was like my second mum, and so was thrilled to try and help Ivy when she was so frail. Penny once took Catherine over to Ivy when she couldn't stop crying, and Paul and Penny were happy to pick up Ivy for church in latter days. And there's so many other people who say, yes, Ivy did this for me, Ivy did that for me, and so folks were very happy to help Ivy. One lady who's recently joined the Tuesday Fellowship asked if the Ivy Payne that we pray for and mention is the same Ivy Payne that was involved in the friendship circle years ago. Yes, that was Ivy. My next memory of Ivy was when we had a special mission week for children with a visiting evangelist in 1966. I remember my dad telling me that Ivy's husband had died very suddenly. Paul remembers Miss Busby, the headmistress, telling the school and helping them know how to be good friends to Ivy's children, Joyce and David. Ivy has testified to that time how the Lord helped her. She said how good it was having Carolyn as a toddler, as it meant that Ivy had to keep on going and cope with life. Ivy also testified that from that time on, the Lord brought people across her path that needed her. Ivy mentioned John Castle, who came for lodgings as he taught at the grammar school and stayed all his career and kept in touch. And I'm sure he's... Yeah, there's John there near the back. I knew he'd be here. Just last year, we couldn't get any response from Ivy to take her to the Tuesday Fellowship. So I went round afterwards, let myself in, went up expecting to find her asleep in bed, which was kind of the routine, really. But no... She wasn't in bed. She'd been out to lunch with John. Ivy loved to share news of her grandchildren and showed us their prayer letters. She was so happy at each bit of family news and so pleased for David getting married recently and finding happiness. That thrilled her. She loved each of her family and was so proud for every one of them. I mentioned that Ivy said the Lord sent people to her. Only the Lord knows how many people, especially the elderly that Ivy helped. Some that were neighbours, some that were church people. Ivy was very faithful to Molly and Aunt Jean's. Ivy would go and read with somebody, help them with practical issues, or just do whatever was needed. It was Ivy that noticed John Green had gone missing for a while, and it was discovered he was collapsed on the floor at home, needing hospital treatment. Gary Benfold, a previous pastor here, said of Ivy, Ivy was a precious soul, and I've many happy memories of her. She was a real saint. Gary once said to her, you know, if we had women deacons, you'd be the first. And she was really surprised, too humble to recognise the value of how much she did. And then Gary adds, we should have gone ahead and appointed her. Ivy, along with Molly Eames and Renee Fuller, who's with us, looked after the Women's Fellowship for many years. I think it started in Mrs. Dinham, who was the wife of the first pastor in this building, and started it in the 1960s. It was still going, but down to 10 or 12 when Pat and Alan came to Limes Avenue in 2006. Ivy was afraid to give it up because if she gave it up, it might not continue. But Ivy and Renee were delighted to allow Pat to take over. But I doubt if they realised how much it would change. It's a great tribute to Ivy, Renee and Pat that not only did Ivy and Renee cope with the change, but they were excited and thrilled with a new Tuesday fellowship for men and women and entered in wholeheartedly. Jenny remembers how Ivy would keep bringing the milk for tea even when she was still struggling to get here, struggling to walk here, having turned down any offer of a lift. I can walk. Ivy kept fit by walking everywhere she possibly could, as long as she possibly could. Frances remembers that when Ivy came into church, you would see her looking round for a seat, not for someone she felt safe with, but next to someone who was alone or new. Dorothy remembers that Ivy never missed a birthday. Actually, Ivy never missed anything, and Pat and I in the Tuesday Fellowship, if we missed something, Ivy would be on the case. Just over a year ago, I came home about 6 o'clock and found Ivy slowly making her way up Craigwell Avenue. So I picked her up and said, "Where are you off to, Ivy?" And she said, "It says in my book that it's your birthday." She'd managed to struggle out to deliver my card and taken a street plan with her in case she got lost. Ivy was determined to keep coming to all the meetings. One dark wintry night, I rang her to say I thought the weather was too icy and misty for her to come out for the 7:45 meeting. Ivy looked out the window and said, "Well, this car's going up and down." Ivy took her duties as a church member very, very seriously. Ivy knew age was catching up on her, and she often said so. Elsie Deer shares how Ivy shared her fears of aging with her. What will happen? At first, Ivy declined help, but then so graciously accepted it. I love the way she would say, "Thank you for looking after me," when maybe all we had done was given her a lift home. One or two suggestions of making life easy for her were offered, and Ivy would say, "If you think it would help me, that, yeah." When she eventually allowed her daughters to organise carers, Ivy said how helpful the carers were. And I found there was something very lovely about Ivy's recognition and acceptance of her frailty, and I grew very fond of her. Ivy so valued the visits of her children to help care for and organise the things she could no longer cope with. Ivy was always so proud of her family. She was proud of the care they gave her and how she knew they would organise matters for her. When Ivy was in Amersham Hospital, I asked her what hymn she liked. After a while thinking, she said, "God moves in a mysterious way," and we sang it together. We sang it in her memory this Tuesday Fellowship. As we look back over Ivy's life, it's not difficult to understand that choice of a hymn at that moment. Ivy testified herself to God's keeping through tragedy, of the joy her three children and grandchildren brought to her as they served the Lord. We see the provision that Ivy was to the elderly, to struggling mothers and to young children. God indeed moves in mysterious ways. Now Ivy has received that, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Actually, we could do with a dozen new Ivies.